This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us...
Rikini.
Brian Hunter.
Jeff Brennan.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now Barbara, you were talking about your marriage, your first marriage had just ended and you were going back into teaching.
That's right. So I went back to Pahutua and lived with my sister, Rose, and her husband, Jum Randall. And it was there I got back into teaching, and I was a year teaching Primer 4 when a position as senior mistress came up, and Helen Loveridge, who was teaching in Standard 1, said to me, "Now look, Barbara, you need to apply for this position." I said, no. I said, "Look, I've only had my PA year. I had done a term at Wakarongo. I left that one out straight after my PA year. And I, and then I did a couple of terms at Martin." I said, "And now here at Pahutua," I said, no. I said, I'm not capable of doing senior work. Issue asked, she says. And so well, I applied and I got it. So I went into Standard 3. Now, one of the pupils was Tony Loveridge. His mum, Helen Loveridge, was, as I said before, a teacher in Standard 1. Helen had had, after about a year teaching there, she went to get her husband, who was playing cricket, and he was a bit under the weather, so she wanted to drive home and he said no, and he came round by the swimming baths driving, he was driving, and he crashed, and Helen wound up all round the steering wheel. She became a tetraplegic, and they took her to Pahutua Hospital first, then took her across to Palmerston North. She was in Palmerston North for 13 years. Now, in that time, she had three boys. Roger, who now is top man for the wealthiest man in New Zealand, lives in Auckland, did go into Parliament only as a feeler. What's his name?
Jones.
Researcher.
Eh?
Jones?
No, is it Jones? What's his first name?
Bob Jones.
No, he's not Auckland. He's
No, he's not.
Who's Bob?
Bob Jones is a Wellington businessman.
Right. Mm.
No, it wasn't Graham Hart. No. I can see it. He ran this party. He was only in for one term. He went in to upset everybody. And anyway, he took to hiding, and a reporter went out to interview him because he found out where he was. And he went by helicopter.
It was Bob Jones.
Yeah, Bob Jones. It was Bob Jones. Yes. Yeah, well, Helen's son, youngest son, Roger, is his top man, dealing in millions, And Peter, the eldest, was in the police force, went to Wellington. He was a sergeant in the police force in Wellington. And Tony Loveridge got his BA degree and went teaching. Where am I at? Right. So that when I won this position as senior mistress, I graduated to Standard 3, from Primer 4 to Standard 3, which I hadn't taught, but that's all right. So I went in there and I taught Tony Loveridge And he said, I can remember you putting your arms around me and cuddling me when Dad, when Mum had an accident. Well, what else could you do? Because it was an awful, awful accident. So I was there for 4 years as a senior mistress. And Helen was in the hospital here for 13 years. In that time, Bill went a divorce, and they held the divorce in Helen's room at the hospital, and Trevor DeClean was Bill's attorney, lawyer, and Bill Trevor DeClean really rubbed it into Helen, who couldn't, sitting in a bed, couldn't move, and really said all sorts of things about what a dreadful woman she was and da-da-da. Judge Sinclair was the judge, and he was sitting in on everything, and he wiped everything and said, that's the finish, no divorce, and Helen gets charge of the three boys.
Really?
Now, I think Trevor DeClean did all that so that Helen would get the three, I'm sure, because Trevor DeClean was that sort of person. Do you know Trevor? No.
Yes, he
used to do some underhand tricks.
Different sorts of lawyer.
That's right, that's right. Anyway, so the boys came over to Palmerston North, and they were put in different homes, and they used to go and see Helen regularly every day. And I'll come to that too. Anyway, I had all these years at Pahutua, and at that time NZEI, the men used to have their NZEI meetings at Pahutua, one month at Pahutua, another
NZEI
month
at is
New Zealand Institute. It was the union for teachers.
Okay.
Right?
Primary teachers.
Yeah, for primary teachers. And they'd have one meeting at Pahutua and one meeting at Ekatahuna. And the meeting that they had at Pahutua, Isa Braggins, who was the infant mistress, he put me through my golfing handicap. And she was Isa. She and I would get everything ready for the men, and we'd set up the tables, all cups of tea, cups out, everything else, and as soon as the men came in, we women would go, because no women attended the institute meeting. No, see, it was all men. And at that stage, men were coming in and taking over as principals, and the women who were there moved out. And that was the transition.
And this was in what?
And that was not in the 50s.
Okay.
That was after the war, because you had all these men coming back into teaching practice. I'm trying to think of his name, I'll catch it in a minute, was the cousin to Kura Coop. He was Dadada Coop. He was the deputy principal at Pahutua. Anyway, we all went down. We went to a meeting, a teachers' meeting it was, at Ekatahuna, and this bloke Coop, Kura Coop, said, anyway, that's all right. I had an A30 car, and Isa Braggins had an A30 car. And on the way back at night, Isa said to me, can you hear a funny noise? And I said, no, I can't hear anything. We got to Pahutua Friday night, and people were, Friday night shopping it was, and people were standing on the footpath looking at us as we drove through. We were driving to the supermarket at the other end of town, run by, and I can't think of his name at the moment, but it doesn't matter. And And they were looking at us, and I thought, oh, yes. And we got there, and out came the manager, I've forgotten his name, and he said, my golly, he said, you're kicking up a noise coming through. And he said, didn't you hear it? No. Well, of course, we had the windows up. It was winter time. And he said, you've got pebbles in your hubcaps. And, of course, this bloke, Coop, had done that.
Yeah.
And so I... And Arthur said to me, oh, when she... he was going to get a telling off when he got when she got to school. So I rushed to school early and said to him, look, look, I know what you've done. No, he knew nothing about it. He knew absolutely nothing. I said, well, you're going to catch it from Liza. No. Well, he did. He caught it from Liza, but he didn't own up. No. But, oh, they used to do some terrible things to her. At one stage, they propped her car up on a box, and she came out of the meeting, jumped in a car, and wondered why it wasn't going to go. Anyway, I had 4 years there, and in that time my divorce came through, and I dealt with my lawyer in Pahiatua, and he said about paying for it. I said, look, I'll pay for the divorce. And he said, well, he said, I can't find Toomey. And I think Toomey was gallivanting all over the country. So anyway, I went to Palmerston for my divorce. And of divorces in those days had come out in the paper, mm-hmm. right? And there were 13 divorces being heard. Ernie Edwards, my brother-in-law, stood for me, along with Coa Randall, who was part of the family. I had two standing for me, and when my lawyer
standing
Lord,
for you,
representing me,
okay.
and saying no, I hadn't lived with Toomey for 3 years because it was three years,
yeah.
And I when it came to me, my lawyer, and I'll get his name in a minute, stood up and said, the divorce between Tumihau Utiku Portaka. And the judge said, this Tumihau Utiku Portaka, yes, Your Honour, said my lawyer, we know him. Next day, 12 divorce notices came out in the paper, but not Barbara Kingy's, but not Tumihau Utiku Portaka. Because Toomey was a, do I say it?
A mandarin.
Beaconist.
Mason.
Oh, Mason.
Gosh.
Yeah. So the big boys were at work.
The world doesn't change, but.
No, it doesn't change. Doesn't change. Right. So then came the end of 59, and by this stage I was linked up with Bill Kingy, and at this stage Bill was wanting to get married because my divorce had gone through, and he was building a house in Farrison Street, and so I thought, well, I'll try for a job in Palmerston North. So there was a senior assistant mistress's job going at Tarkaraw School, which I applied for and got. Now, I only got these positions because I rated high on grading.
Mm-hmm.
And it was simply because I'd done that 1 year out at Rewa.
Yes.
I knew what I was looking for when I went to Teachers College. Mm-hmm. And I was called on in my year at Hokowhetu, and I went out to a Kauri.
Mm.
So that's why I think grading is everything.
So what do you mean by grading?
Right. Now, in those days, you had inspectors come out and see you once a year, and they would have a form on which, I should have brought one of these round, on which were various skills that they were looking for, skills in teaching, like skills in leadership, skills in bookwork, skills in... what?
Management.
Yeah, management. And how you appeal to children, but yes, all those things. And you were given either excellent, very good, good, or fair, right? And each of those marks were worth so many points. So on your white grading sheet, you had to do country service, and that was 2 years, where you had to be out in the country somewhere. And
this was bonding, was it?
No, bonding.
Quite separate from that.
No bonding. Well, I suppose it was, because you had, if you wanted to go on, you had to do country service. Okay. If you didn't do country service, you just didn't get into top jobs, right?
Okay.
But I'd done 4 years at Pahiatua, and I'd done 2 terms at Martin. Yeah. That was counted as country service. So I had my country service, and I'd got good marks on my white form. The white form went up to 9, was it?
Rosalie? I think so.
Mm. Yeah, white went to 9, and you had to be on that for so many years. And then, if you stayed in a senior position, you got onto a green report. Mm-hmm. And that got you into senior positions all the time. And then if you did well on a senior position, you got... Well, you could go then to a yellow report, and if you did well on a yellow report, you could get into top jobs, principals, as principals in the primary school area, right?
Yep.
So because I had top marks on the white, I got this position as senior mistress at Tarkor School. So I was there for something like 2 years, 3 years, under Ken McElroy. Ken had the community centre in Fielding, and I used to go over with him. Mm-hmm. He was principal. He also did a course at Massey later. Running reading. While I was under him at Tarkerel, he sent me off to all sorts of courses and so on. Mm. He was a great man, and he backed me all the way. One of the courses was a reading course that I went on in Auckland, and he was into reading at that stage of isolating the word and saying the word in syllables, or doing the whole sentence structure and getting the meaning from there and fitting in the word that the child couldn't read, and sounding out a word phonics-wise and so on. And the one who was doing all this was Ruth Trevor, the reading advisor in Palmerston North. And she was lecturing at Lochdale House in Auckland, and that was a place where teachers went to do any extra work and so on. So I went up to Lochdale House, and it was a week of doing all sorts of things. And at that stage, Ruth, in the afternoon, we'd had this lovely lunch, and Ruth Trevor was lecturing in the afternoon, and I was going to be in on this one. It was a hot day. And I'm sitting there, and you know, I thought, oh, this is awful. So I put the book up and then closed my eyes. Well, anyway, I got myself round.
So you hid behind your book. I hid behind, fell asleep.
Yeah, but I wasn't the only one. There were a few me. But on that course, there are only about two or three women. All men.
Mm.
It's all men in those days. Anyway, I came afternoon tea time.
And this was the late 1950s, early 1960s?
Early 60s.
Early 60s.
Yeah, the early 60s.
And yet now they say that teaching's a woman's occupation.
That's dead right.
Yeah.
But it was all men then.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I'm having afternoon tea, and one of the men came up and said, "I saw you sleeping, Barbara." And I went, I knew they'd look, because there weren't many women in the course, and I knew I'd be targeted.
Did they make you welcome? They made a fuss over you being
Yeah. Well, actually, they've always been marvellous, always. And I think it's the way you react yourself as a woman. Because I know when I came back to teach here in Palmerston, I came back as principal in Palmerston North. I went to a teachers' meeting, and it was basically all men. Well, it was all men because I was the only woman principal then. And and the men, they were looking for a president of the Teachers Association. And it was John Gould, who was the principal at Ross Intermediate, said, "I nominate Barbara Kingy." And too late, I got the job. But fortunately, Ira Richardson, who was at Teachers College with me, fortunately, was principal at Parkland School. And he was the secretary, and I was the president, and Ira did all the work. All I did was manage the meeting. So that was all right. But that's what men did to you, you know. But they wouldn't do it now, of course.
Well, put you in charge.
Eh? Yes.
Put you in charge.
Yes.
That's bad, is it? Now they're saying women should be in charge.
Yeah, that's right. So. Well, the men couldn't do that quick enough because... because they wanted a rest, you know.
And
they did that. Anyway, after Tarkoro School, I wanted a family. And that's when we took Bill's sister's sixth child, Paul. She has had 13. And they're all alive. And the eldest one, Angus Hartley, is CEO for Kohangarua now.
Mm.
And he goes around and he does all of them.
Yes.
So he's done very well.
Yes.
Yes, so we, Bill and I had this wee baby boy.
Was that a sort of Maori adoption, would you say?
Yeah, they call that whangai, but we straight out adopted him. Because Bill's auntie, Rangi Tāna or Takarangi, who was a big wig in Whanganui at the time, she entertained Prince Edward when he was at college.
Yes.
She insisted, and she was working for the welfare, she insisted that we adopt. So we adopted, because she had adopted Bill's sister, Māori, and it was Māori wet to live with Auntie Runny, it was Paul that we had.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was a... so then I had my 2-3 years with Paul at home, being a mum, which is all new to me, and to take this new little baby, and I knew nothing about babies, but Bill's mum came and stayed with me and and taught me how to bath Paul and look after him, she was a marvellous, marvellous woman, wonderful woman.
Very slippery in a little, aren't they?
Yes. Well, and no trouble to Bill. Bill used to put this little baby on his knee, change the nappies. I'd have the nappy ready and he'd take the nappy from me, bang, bang, everything done on his knee, and I thought, oh, I can't do that.
Yes. So he'd had practice already.
Well, yes, yeah. Yes. No, he was marvellous. He was marvellous. Yes. So then, Bill was a shearer. He had a shearing gang. Basically, his two brothers and his sister who cooked for him and the cribs. Whatever, but it was seasonal work, and of course money didn't come in regularly.
Yes,
and I said to Bill, there was a position coming up at Fielding Intermediate, and I said to Bill, now I had gone my green report at Pahiatua, and it was a good report. For first grading on a green report, and I had to use it 64 the year that intermediate opened up. So I said, I'm going to apply for this job, and I said, if I get it, I said, it'll mean I'm going to make it, teaching is my career. Will you back me? And I said, you know, I'm going to have regular money coming in, and you plus your money, and I said, we can concrete all around our house, and we can have a garage put up, and we can have whatever. Yes, said Bill, I will support you, which he did, all the way. Mm-hmm. And even though the men used to say to him, your wife shouldn't be teaching, and that was in the 60s,
Was it very unusual to have a married woman to have a career like that?
Yes, you didn't. Okay. No one did, because you all stayed home. And when I went golfing at the end of 67, it was, I can remember one of the women saying, "Now, all those women who are married." Can afford to... No, wait on. I've got it wrong. It was something about they should be home doing something or other. They shouldn't be out working. And I said, what are you going to do about Anne Stewart, who's not married and she's got her flower box position in Fielding?
Business.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know about that. So I think that's how Anne and I joined up, because Anne ran a business and I was out teaching, and bang, we got together, bang. But anyway.
Now, we're just about at time again, so I've got one question. Did you really enjoy teaching?
I loved it.
Yeah. Teaching. Why was that?
I loved the intermediate group, actually. Or even lower, but more so the intermediate group, because that age group is a creative age group. They're not children and they're not adults, but it's a stage that they go through where they want to do all sorts of different things. And I feel I relate better to that age. Well, I think I relate to all children, because I think what you have to do is to get down to their level and be at their level. You don't teach from there.
That's the meaning of education from the Latin, to lead out.
Yeah. Yes. It was the fact that I was able to do all sorts of programs, things with them. I love doing language themes. where we could do silhouettes and boxes. We could do I used to take the children up to go over the wall because I experienced it, and I'd give them various sections. And at one stage, I took the children up to, well, we went two or three times up to the Army Museum and put them through their paces there. But it's the learning stage, the way to see children learn. It's a great thing, isn't it, Rosalie?
Yes.
Just to see them learn something new each day.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, you'd say, "Now, what did you learn today?" And they'd be thinking, and they could say, "Oh," they'd latch onto something, you know, the next day. So it is a learning stage, great stage.
Yeah. And you sort of had working under you a lot of teachers. So, what would you say makes a good teacher?
I've had so many good teachers myself. Well, to begin with, it's dedication to what you're doing, and it's to make sure that teachers are dedicated to their job. I mean, if you're not dedicated to it, well, you may as well not be a teacher. I'm passing it over to you, Rosalie.
She can't say anything because she said, "I'm not."
What impressed us as parents, and particularly that senior school as you talk about, you introduced the children to some independence in their learning.
That's
they
right.
had to be ready to go to secondary school.
That's right.
And prior to that, it wasn't as obvious. Prior to your term as the principal taking the senior children, we had a daughter in the group before you were.
Yes, Catherine.
Lynette.
Oh.
She was left school by the time you came, I think.
Oh, right.
But Andrew and Catherine had the work habits had developed via your teaching, separate to any other teacher. Being able to step into the secondary school system with some independence.
That's it.
And developing that.
Yeah, well, that's it. I know I set boundaries. And I expected children to be within those boundaries. I also set high standards, I know that. And the children had to reach that standard. I mean, no low standards for children. You mustn't do that. You must always set high standards for children. And then they can achieve it. Like in sports. You can set a high standard in sport, and they can lift themselves to that if they are sports-minded.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.